If you have your scripture this morning and you'd like to share what we're going to be reading our text from this morning, we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and I want to begin reading with verse number 1. So Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning with verse number 1. Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus, and he writes, "Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love." Now, how many of you know he's asked us to do a mouthful right there already? He says, walk in lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. When I read that, I just thought Paul was a Southerner. And in y'all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill, or that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and teachers. And this is why he gave those gifts to the church: for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. And it all culminates right here in verse 13. There's a whole lot in what we have just read. But it all culminates here in this 13th verse. He said he did all of these things so that we could edify the body of Christ till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now I'm going to stop reading right there this morning, ask that you bow your heads and let us pray together. Lord Jesus, I love you with a whole heart. I'm grateful this morning, Lord, we have opportunity to be in the house of God. Thankful this morning for the presence of your Holy Spirit that we have sensed as we have worshiped and as we have praised. We come to the reading of this word this morning, and in my own ability, I am incapable of delivering the mysteries and the wonderful word of the living God. But if you will touch me and if you will anoint me, if you will give me divine capability through your anointing, Lord, you can bless me to be a blessing. And I pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that you would inspire my thoughts and put your word in my mouth. Let me speak as your instrument here this morning, on every level where each one may receive, that we may hear and that we may learn and that we may grow and that we may come to the stature and the fullness of that walk with God that you desire for us to have. I pray all of these things this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Let his name be glorified and let your people be edified. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I'm going to title my message this morning, Satan and His Seven Dwarfs. How many of you remember the little Disney movie, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? In our politically correct society, they probably wouldn't have used dwarfs. They would have probably said, you know, altitude-challenged men. Right? But at the time, they called him Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And the little guys would go off singing, hi-ho, hi-ho, and off to work we go. And when I was a little boy going to school, I had my own version of that. My version went something like, hi-ho, hi-ho, and off to school we go. We learn some junk and then we flunk. Hi-ho, 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 hi-ho. I'm not endorsing that mentality, but I'm just telling you what we say. But we know the little story about the seven dwarves. There was Grumpy and Dopey and Sleepy, Happy, Doc, Sneezy, not Sleazy, but Sneezy, and Bashful. And for those of you with children and grandchildren, I have already preached. That's a good piece of information for you right there to know. And you may be wondering to yourself, Pastor Gary, where in the world are you going with all of this? But before we're through this morning, I hope that I can make it relevant. You see, our text that we have read makes it perfectly clear that it is God's will for us to grow. When we come to Christ, we are babes in the Lord. We are born again. We are babes in the Lord. But how many of you know God does not intend for us to stay a child? He intends for us to grow. He intends for us to become mature in our walk and in our relationship with Him. Our text makes it clear that God desires for us to grow up and be strong in faith and to mature in our walk with God and to go from faith to faith and from glory to glory and from one revelation unto another revelation and from one level to another level, always growing until we come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man and the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, He desires for our life to be an image of His Son. He desires that when people look at our life, they see Christ in us. That they see the Lord in our lives, in our attitudes, in our actions. In everything that we do, He intends for us to grow. He desires for our lives to become an image and a reflection of Jesus Christ. This past week, I can tell you when I began to study and began to prepare for this message this morning, I began to look inward and examine my life and begin to pray, God, help me to be the image of Jesus. When others see my life, I pray that they see a similitude of the Son of the Living God. I pray that they see love and mercy and grace and long-suffering and gentleness and meekness and temperance and all of those things. And I all too often fall short. But He desires for us to grow and to mature. I know some people in the house of God that have been babes for 20 years. How many of you know it is not natural to remain a babe? It is not natural to be, amen, to remain a child. We are expected to grow. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. That we may grow thereby. We are to be growing and changing and maturing day by day until we become more like Jesus. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 4, Peter said, "Wherefore there is given unto us exceeding and great promises, that by these great promises that have been given to us, we can be partakers of the divine nature of God." He goes on to say, "And besides this, give all diligence," in verse 5, "give all diligence to add to your faith virtue, and to virtue add knowledge, and to knowledge add temperance, and to temperance add patience, and to patience add godliness. And to godliness," he goes on and says, "add brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness add love," or add charity. Amen. Do you notice a consistent thing there? He's telling us to continue to add to our life, continue to add in our growth, continue to add things in our walk with God. I assure you this morning that a successful Christian life does not just happen. It doesn't just arrive, but it is built, and it is a growing process. And being mature in the Lord is a journey of growth. But how many of you ever heard of growing pains? It's a reality. A life that is successful and productive, and a life that is effective, and a life that reaches its full potential is required to grow. If we are just content with things as they are, I think that we need to examine our heart. If we are content in our walk with God, if we are content where we are in our life, then I think we need to look inward and begin to examine our heart, because God on a day-to-day basis desires for us to be enriched and grow, amen, and become stronger in our faith, and become stronger in our testimony, and become stronger in our witness of who we serve. But I came to tell you this morning that, amen, when we decide and we determine that we want to grow in the Lord, that every single force of hell is going to stand in opposition of us. The enemy would like to thwart and would like to dwarf our growth in Christ. And when we come to the Lord and we determine in our heart that we desire to grow in our spirit, man, and we desire greater revelation, and we desire, amen, greater intimacy with the Lord, and we desire a closer walk with God, when you say, "I do," the devil will say, "I do too," and he will come against you to hold you back and to try to keep you dwarfed in the things of the Lord and keep you from growing in God. Satan and his cohorts will come along singing, "Hi ho, hi ho, I refuse to let you grow." Hello? "I refuse to let you go." They want to stunt our growth in Christ. I remember when I was a little boy and I would spend the night at my grandmother and my grandfather's house. Wake up in the morning to the smell of biscuits and, you know, coffee on the stove. And I mean, you know, it's like that would draw you in. I would go into the kitchen. I'm 9, 10 years old. And I go, "Can I have a cup of coffee?" My grandfather would look at me and smile, and he would say, "You know, that'll stunt your growth." And of course they were, well, I don't know if they were teasing or not. The way they made coffee, it may really stunt your growth. But I would want a cup of coffee, and they would say, "You know, that'll stunt your growth." Well, that's what the enemy desires to do to us. He desires to stunt our growth process because he knows that God wants us to, he meant to be growing and to rise up one level to another level and become more and more of a witness, amen, of the things of God. Amen. Let me just share with you this morning seven little dwarfs that the enemy will send along in our life to try to thwart our growth. Seven characteristics that the enemy will try to attach to our life so that he can stunt our growth in the Lord. Number one, the first little dwarf, or the satanic little dwarf that I will talk about this morning, is the dwarf of worry. How many of you have ever been faced with worry? Amen. Well, let me just tell you something. In reality this morning, worry is nothing more than doubt. Hello? Worry is nothing more than doubt. Worry will leave you feeling stressed, and worry will leave you feeling emotionally drained, and worry will leave you feeling helpless and hopeless, and worry is like a rocking chair. It will give you something to do, but it will take you nowhere. Worry. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 27. He said, "Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature?" That's the King James Version. The New King James says, "Which of you by worrying, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature?" Now, you know this truth that I'm about to share with you this morning, but worry all you want to, but worry will never change a thing. How do you know, Pastor Gary? I've done it. I tried it. I've laid awake at night, laid my head on the pillow, wishing I could go to sleep, and all kinds of things running through my head and all kinds of things swirling around in my mind, and they were all kinds of things that were out of my control. And I'd roll over, and it's 11:30. And I'd roll over again, and it's 12:30. I roll over again, and it's 1:30. And I know 5:30's coming. Hello? Worry. And all of that worry and all of that turmoil and all of that unrest and all of that unbelief got me nowhere. Why worry when we can pray? Let me just share with you this morning that the enemy would like to send his little dwarf of worry along into your life so that all you can do is just worry about this and worry about that and worry about the other thing, amen, and never accomplish anything for God. Instead of worrying about it, look the enemy in the eye and tell the devil, "I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he, not me, he is able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day." The Bible tells us that we can cast our care upon him because he cares for us. So instead of allowing the enemy to just rob you of your peace of mind by worrying and turmoil, you cannot change it anyway. Cast it upon the Lord. Take it to the Lord in prayer and let God handle your situations. Don't worry. Worry adds nothing to our life. Worry doesn't add, it will detract. Worry doesn't add, it will just dwarf our faith. It will stunt our progress in God. It will stunt our confidence in God. It will impede, amen, us moving forward. Amen. Tell the little dwarf of worry, "Hi-ho, hi-ho, and I ain't gonna worry no more." Hello? The second little imp, the second little dwarf that the enemy brings into our life is angry. And you can blame it on your Irish roots if you want to. Hello? Angry. Rage. The boiling point. Pop your top. Anybody ever dealt with anger? Let me just share something with you about anger. Anger will always complicate the situation. Anger will always complicate the situation. May I point out to you this morning that anger is only one letter a word from danger. Anger is only one letter away from the word danger, and it just needs a D, and the D stands for dummy. Blow your top, and you're not gonna fix anything. You're just gonna complicate the situation. And if you want to know the truth, I've tried that too. So this is what the Bible says about anger. It says in Psalms chapter 37 and verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Ezekiel 7 and 9 says, be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger rests in the bosom of the fool. So just remember, every time you blow your top, you are being a fool. Hello? Well, maybe I should move on. Anger makes your mouth move quicker than your mind can think. Hello? Anger will overemphasize all of the negatives of the situation, and it will always complicate the simplest of problems. And yet I have seen individual in my life and individual after individual who were angry at others and angry at God and angry at situations and angry about this and angry about that. And let me just tell you something this morning. It will never solve the problem. It will only complicate the problem, and it will keep you from growing in God. I've seen those who have been angry, and it destroyed friendships and relationships. And amen, let me just tell you this morning, it has caused fools to make hasty decisions that they would later regret. Don't allow the little dwarf of anger to take hold or take root in your heart or in your life. He will only thwart your growth in the Lord. Do not allow anger to become a part of your spirit. Guard against it. It will stunt your growth in the Lord. Many have become bitter toward God because they are angry at God, because God didn't do what they wanted them to do on the time frame that they wanted him to do it. Hello? Don't allow anger to be a part of your spirit. Control that anger. How do we control our anger? By turning it over to the Lord. By praying, God, give me a temperate spirit. Whenever I get ready to fly off the handle and give somebody a piece of my mind, let me realize I don't have many pieces left. Amen. Anger. Tell the little imp of anger, hi-ho, hi-ho, I ain't gonna be angry no more. The third little dwarf is the dwarf called stingy. I'm talking about things that the enemy sends into our life that hinders our growth and hinders us becoming the full stature, amen, and the image of the very Christ that we serve. And the third little dwarf is stingy. And I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about stingy with our time, stingy with our abilities, and stingy in our relationships. And when everything is all about me. Have you ever noticed that human nature is always about me? That is our human nature. What about me? What about me? What about my welfare? What about me? Let me just share with you something this morning that's very contrary to the very nature of God. Because with God, he's not what about me, he's what about you. I came to minister unto you. I didn't come to be ministered to, but I came to minister and give my life a ransom for you. And he said, freely we have received, freely give. We have this container mentality instead of a conduit mentality. You understand what I'm saying? We have this container mentality. Get all you can all you can get, and just hang on to it instead of a conduit mentality. God didn't intend for us to be a container. He intended for us to be a conduit. He wanted to shine in us and through us and to someone else. Don't be stingy with your love. Don't be stingy, amen, with your grace. Don't be stingy with your mercy. When someone falls, help them up instead of stepping on their neck. When someone fails, reach down and pick them up and pour in the balm of Gilead, amen, and pour in the oil and the wine and help heal the wound. Don't be stingy with your grace. Don't be stingy with your love. Don't be stingy with what you have. Everything that God created gives. Let me just share that with you one more time. Everything that God created gives. The sun gives light and heat. The earth gives food and sustenance. The water gives life. Amen. God, everything that, you know why? Because God is a giver. That's the golden text of the Word of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God is a giver. And God intends for us to be givers. But stingy will come along and rob you of a blessing. Stingy will come along, and if we become stingy in our heart, then we will withhold what God intended to get through us. Let me just share a couple of scriptures with you this morning. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse number 24. This is what the Bible says. There is that scattereth, and yet it increases. There is that withholds more than it should. The King James says more than is meet. But he goes on to say, but it tends to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. Another translation says that a generous person will be made rich, and whoever satisfies others will be satisfied himself. Can you see that this morning? There is that withholds, but it leads to poverty. When you don't give, you're not going to grow. When you don't give, you're not going to increase. And again, I remind you, I'm not just talking about money, but when we don't give, amen, of ourselves unto others, we're going to stunt relationships. You see what I'm saying this morning? Notice that the word in that King James says it withholds. It means to refrain from giving, to hoard unto oneself. It carries with it, amen, that container mentality instead of a conduit mentality. And I submit to you this morning that God created us not to be containers, but he created us to be a conduit and a vessel through which his blessings can flow. When we withhold our love and we withhold our grace and our mercy and we withhold, amen, our things that God has given to us, amen, what we are doing is we are not making an investment in the future. When we withhold, we are missing out on an opportunity for a harvest. When we withhold, we are missing out on an opportunity for return. And when we hold back, we limit and we restrict and we dwarf and we miss out on an opportunity for growth. We miss out on investing in the kingdom of God. I have always said, If God can get it through you, he will get it to you. If God can get it through you, he will get it to you. Everything he created gives. The Dead Sea is an example of a non-giving individual, if you want to put it that way. The Dead Sea has no outlet. It's a container. And that's why it's dead. Hello? That's why it's dead. It has no way of letting anything out. Let me just share with you this morning. God does not want our lives to become stingy and self-centered and inward thinking and container mentality. God wants us to be a conduit through which his blessings and his light and his love and his grace and his mercy can flow so that others can see the goodness of our God. Amen. And call upon the name of the Lord because they recognize that he is real. Amen, amen, amen. Stingy will hold you back. I put this in my notes. I think it's important to share. Keep the love of money out of your heart and God will keep money in your pocket. Hello? Keep the love of money out of your heart and God will keep money in your pocket. Don't allow stingy to dwarf or cause you to miss out on an opportunity for growth. Number four, the fourth little dwarf is lazy. Lazy. Me and this little dwarf had a talk just this morning at 5:30 when the alarm clock went off. I said, it's one of the only days I get to sleep in. Lazy said to me, you know, yeah, go ahead. Just a little more, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands. Hello? And then the other side of me said, you better get up, get you a cup of coffee and get studying. Yes, Lord. Lazy. How many of you know we all get tempted to get spiritually lazy? Especially when things are going good. When things are a little rocky, we are like, oh, Jesus, Lord. But when things are going along pretty smooth, it's awful easy to just hit the snooze one more time and roll over and go back to bed. Let me just tell you, that little dwarf called lazy will bring you to poverty. He will stunt your growth. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 4 said, the soul of the lazy, King James says, the sluggard. The soul of the lazy desires and has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made fat. Hello? It just simply means that a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be blessed. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 4 says, he becomes poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent shall be made rich. He becomes poor that deals with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent shall be made rich. I told my children when they were growing up that the only time that success, amen, comes before the word work is in the dictionary. If you're going to have success, amen, then you are going to have to apply some sweat and labor, and you're going to have to apply yourself in order to succeed. Don't be lazy. Work hard. Success depends upon it. But let me just share with you this morning, it's really tempting often to become spiritually lazy. And it's really tempting sometimes to just, we know we should read the word and we don't read the word. We know we should pray and we don't pray. And we know that we should be in the house of God and we don't go to the house of God. Amen. Why? Because we are spiritually lazy. Let me tell you this morning, lazy will bring you to spiritual poverty. If we are lazy in our prayer life, if we are lazy in our reading of God's word, if we are lazy in applying the principles of God in our life, then we are going to stunt our growth. We are going to inhibit our walk with God. One of my all-time favorite singers, you probably heard me say this before, but one of my all-time favorite guys is Bob Seger. Bob Seger and the Silver Bullet Band in Detroit, Michigan. I love it. I love it. He wrote a song called Lock and Load. YouTube it. You might like it too. Lock and Load. And here's the lyrics of one of that part of that song. Is it says, mediocrity is easy. The good things take time. And greatness needs commitment right down the line. Mediocrity is the easy road. Mediocrity is the easy road. If you're going to be successful, then you're going to have to apply yourself. You're going to have to tell lazy, hit the road. You're going to have to tell lazy, not today. Mediocrity is easy. Good things take time. Amen. You may not achieve your objective today, but hang on and just keep working and keep striving. Success does not happen overnight. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, an overnight success? Baloney. Baloney. Somebody spent some time and somebody put in some effort and somebody put in some work to get where they are. There are no such things as an overnight success. It takes commitment. It takes perseverance. It takes tenacity. It takes some stickability. It takes, amen, some fortitude. And it takes, amen, an attitude that says, I may have got knocked down, but I'm going to get back up again, and I'm going to keep on trying. Let me move on. I got a few more. Tell lazy. Tell that little dwarf of lazy that comes to stunt your growth. Not today. Not going to let you have a foothold in my life. I'm not going to cause you to be make me spiritually lazy. I'm not going to cause you, amen, to allow me to neglect the word of God or neglect my walk with God. No, I'm going to persevere and I'm going to move forward in the Lord. I'm going to grow in God. Number five, the fifth little satanic dwarf, he's called Dinky. Small thinking. Dinky. Dinky will come along, sit down on your shoulder, and he will say things like, small church, small crowd, small ability, can't do this, can't do that, never will, if only, never will have. Dinky is always looking at the impossibility, and he's always telling you why you can't. Hello? Well, let me just share with you this morning that that's not scriptural. The Bible said that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know the enemy will come along and tell me I can. I know the enemy will come along, and if I give place to him, he wins. But I believe the word of God, and God declares I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It is not by my might, not by my power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. But if you get to paying attention to Dinky and his words, here's what the Bible says. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Let me give you a great example of this. You remember the children of Israel? 1 year, 3 months later, they come out of Egypt's bondage, and 1 year, 3 months, they're standing on the banks of the Jordan River with the promise of God to go in and possess the land. Moses sends in the spies, and they come back and say, it's a great land, but we can't. And Dinky thinking won out. Hello? Here's what the scripture said. The Bible said that they turned back and they tempted God and they limited the Holy One of Israel, all because they listened to small thinking. I assure you this morning that if God puts a dream in your heart, God is able to make it happen. I assure you this morning that even in impossibilities, if you are hoping for it, if you are dreaming about it, if you have thought about it, if you have prayed about it, that God is able to do, as Ephesians 3 and 20 says, He is able to do exceeding and abundant above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that works in you. What is the power that's working in you? If it's the power of dinky thinking, you ain't going anywhere. You're just going to spin your wheels. But if it's the power and the word of God and you're standing on the rock, let me just tell you, God will move hell and high water to get you where He wants to take you. Hallelujah. Hi-ho, hi-ho, ain't gonna think dinky no more. We've had worry, angry, stingy, lazy, dinky. Number six, nosy. Nosy is kind of like Pinocchio, and I probably shouldn't get too many characters wrapped up in this, you know. But nosy. Everybody say M-Y. O-B. M-Y-O-B. It's an acronym. It means mind your own business. Mind your own business. I was sitting on the patio last night reading through my notes, and I went, Myobi. Myobi. It's my new favorite word. Myobi. I don't know if you could look it up in the dictionary, but mind your own business. This little dwarf, when you allow him access into your life and you begin to take on his character, here's what happens. You become so interested in everything going on in other people's lives that you forget about the own things in your own life. Hello? If Myobi comes along, this little nosy comes along, man, you'll get interested in everybody else's backyard instead of your own backyard. Amen. You begin to talk about and evaluate and critique everybody's walk with the Lord. That is really good preaching right there. You missed a great place to say amen. Have you ever done that? Have you ever done that? You looked at somebody and said, boy, I wish they were there this morning. They really could have used that message. My Obi. Quit looking at somebody else's fault and somebody else's shortcoming and somebody else's situation and just run your own race. Just run your own race. Don't get so tied up with what somebody else is doing that you become nosy about them and forget to see the own faults in your own life. This is what Jesus said about it. You say, Pastor, you have scripture for that? I do. I do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3, why do you behold the mote in thy brother's eye, but you don't consider the beam that's in your own eye? Myobi. That's a nice way of saying myobi. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 17 says, withdraw your foot from your neighbor's house, lest he be weary of you and hate you. Both of those scriptures are nice ways of saying, mind your own business. Hello? Both of those scriptures. Listen, here's what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Everybody say us. You start critiquing everybody else and you start looking at everybody else's race and you're not going to be able to keep your eye on your own race. He said, let us run our own race. I can be honest with you this morning. I got enough trouble in my life. Amen. Amen. I got enough problems in my life keeping myself straight to be looking into your track and finding out where you ain't coming up. Amen. Where you ought to be. You hear what I'm saying this morning? Amen. Keep your eyes on your own race. The enemy is always coming along and trying to yank off my track shoe. The enemy's coming along trying to put something in the middle of my track that I got to go around. If I get my eyes on your race, I'm going to mess up on my race. Quit evaluating and critiquing others and look at your own race. Nosy will cause you, amen, to just start evaluating everybody else. When he comes around, just remember the word, myobi. Just remind yourself, mind your own business, son. Yeah, that's good preaching. Lord, have mercy. Number seven. Number seven. It may be good preaching, Pastor Gary, but it's really plain. Number seven is the dwarf called Phony. Phony. Isn't it amazing that we want everybody to see the best about us? To the point that sometimes we will just be absolutely phony about where we are, how we are. You hear what I'm saying? Jesus said this about the Pharisees. He said, "You are a generation of vipers and snakes. He said, "You're a generation of vipers and hypocrites." He said, "You are white sepulchers, beautiful on the outside, but you're full of dead men's bones." Why did he tell them that? Here's why. Because everything that they did to look good on the outside. The law said that they were to keep their eyes, the word of God, they were to keep the word of God before their eyes. So they would roll up a scroll with the word of God, and they would hang that scroll between their eyes. That scroll was called a phylactery. And it wouldn't do to have a little bitty phylactery. No, no. I mean, they would roll up big, massive scrolls and hang it between their eyes so that they could keep the word of God before their eyes at all times. Now, really, they would stand on the street corner and say great lengthy prayers so that they could please God, know that so everybody walking by would go, "Wow, isn't that guy spiritual? That guy has got it going on." Let me just share with you this morning, God's not impressed with phony. God's not impressed with phony. Sometimes we come to church with our church face on as if everything is wonderful and well, and we are just as phony can be. You hear what I'm saying this morning? But when we allow that to happen, it stunts our growth. It hinders our walk with God. Beloved, this world this morning is looking for the reality of God's love from those who claim to be his children. Do not allow an attitude or a characteristic of hypocrisy or being phony. Don't allow it to attach itself to your life. Don't try to impress men. The applause of men will fade very quickly, but only what is done through the Lord and in the Lord will cause you to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys of the Lord." I would rather have the approval of God than the applause of men. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. He said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Psalms 24 verse 3 and verse 4 says, "Who shall ascend unto the holy hill of the Lord? Who's going to dwell with the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place?" And then the psalmist answers that question and he says, "He that has clean hands and a pure heart." I assure you this morning, if you are just doing something as an outward expression without having an inward passion, then you're missing the mark. Motive matters. Motive matters. Let me conclude here this morning. All of us are on a journey of growth toward maturity in God. All of us are growing up into the image and into the fullness of Christ, from glory to glory and faith to faith and revelation to revelation, growing and continuing to be more and more like Him. Don't allow these little dwarfs that the enemy sends into our lives, these little attributes, these little characteristics, these little things that he brings to us to hinder our growth. Angry, worry, stingy, lazy, dinky, nosy, phony. Tell all of them, hi-ho, hi-ho, and down the road you go. Hi-ho, hi-ho, and down the road you go. I want to become all that God desires for me to be. I want to become all that God desires for me to be. When others see my life, my prayer, my desire is, God, let others see Jesus in me. Let them recognize the traits and the character of my Father, that I may give glory and honor unto Him. Bow your heads all over the building this morning, if you would, please. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, in the mighty and wonderful name of Jesus, we are grateful this morning, Lord, for opportunity to share your word, to share the truth of your word. Lord, I pray right now that I know the enemy has sent hindrances to stunt the growth of those that are here in this place, that are listening by the internet. I know the enemy would like nothing more than to thwart their growth and to see them come into a greater maturity in their walk with you. But I would pray this morning that these little things that we have discussed this morning would bring some insight into our life, that they come to rob and they come to hinder and they come to attach themselves to us, but for one purpose: to rob us, to hold us down, to keep us from becoming all that God would have us to be, to keep us from reaching our potential in Christ, coming into the stature and the fullness of His glory and His honor. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help us to understand that you are calling us and reminding us not to allow any of these things to attach themselves to our lives. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you will, please. How many of you here in this place this morning would be willing to slip up your hand and say, Pastor Gary, I didn't even realize it, but I got a couple of these little dwarves hanging around my yard. Yeah, God sees every hand. Thank you. Yes, God sees those hands. Honestly, we just need to tell them, hit the road. Hi-ho, hi-ho, down the road you go. Your little ungodly character have no place in my life. You have no place in my heart. You have no place in my emotions, in my psyche, in my spirit. You have no right to be here. And you go now in Jesus' name. Stand to your feet all over the building. Hands have been lifted all over the building this morning. I'm just simply going to ask them to come and worship and lead us in this final course. And while they are leading this course, I just want you to lift your hands toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for showing me that there are some things that have tried to attach themselves to my life that are holding me back. Thank you, Lord. And now, Lord, help me do something about it. Help me to do something about it. Remove it from my life and remove it from my heart. Come on and sing.